Okay, so we continue our trip through the definition of Bishul, trying to figure out what exactly these terms mean, Derech Bishul Asa Torah, because Bishul is such a major component of creating Bas B'chol Deraisa, and we've been constantly looking over our shoulders till Chashabbos in so many different ways. We've seen some Rishonim who almost equated the two, we saw some Rishonim who already started to draw distinctions between the two. But now we enter into the next part of our definition of Bishul, where once again Hilchos Shabbos becomes a critical question. At what point is food considered to be cooked? So let's start in terms of Bas B'cholim. We'll go back to Shabbos, back to Bas B'cholim. So I take a piece of meat, I take a pot of milk, I put it in together, I turn on the fire, and I stop it somewhere in the middle. Is that considered to be Bishul or is not considered to be Bishul? What shear is there in terms, not shear in terms of volume, but what shear in terms of the degree of Bishul? How much Bishul has to take place in order for it to be called Inisa Deraisa Derech Bishul Asatar? Again, Midrabanan, if I take two things, Tam, they get a little bit in the Sidis Tam one to another, have a problem. But in order to be Bishul, in order to be Bas B'chol Deraisa, it has to be Derech Bishul. What point is Bishul violated? So the Gemara Maseches Chulin in the 8th Parak has a very cryptic phrase. The Gemara says, Kol Shachem Oichlan Asai. Says as long as people eat it, who are the people? The Jews aren't eating it. The goyim. As long as the goyim are eating it, so that's okay. So what does Rashi say on the spot? Remember the Rashi? So Rashi says kol tzarchel. Rashi says it's fully cooked. So Rashi invokes a phrase that those of us who learned Shabbos last year know. It's called bishul kol tzarchel, special kol tzarchel. So if you just read the Gemara, read the Rashi, you get the impression that the shear of bishul in order to be bas b'chol deraisa is it has to be kol tzarchel. It means you finish the job. There is no further cooking that has to take place. That's called bishul for the purposes of Hilchos Bas B'chol. That's what I would have thought by reading the Rashi. So some Acharonim write that way, the Das Rashi. But the Ritva, as if he's commenting on Rashi, not pointing out the fact that it doesn't sound like that's what Rashi is saying, the Ritva sticks into Shittas Rashi, a whole different definition. What's the other definition? What's the other possibility? Meichel ben Drusoi. It's a whole different shiur. Meichel ben Drusoi. What in the world is Meichel ben Drusoi? It's a famous Gemara that don't really even appear in Maseches Shabbos exactly, Maseches Menachos, but you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, so you realize that in order to be chayef for bishul on Shabbos, it's not necessary to cook something entirely. As long as you cooked it to a certain degree, that's okay. How much is that certain degree? I don't mean degree in terms of temperature, but how much is that certain degree? So it's Meichel ben Drusoi. Ben Drusoi was a famous bandit in the days of Chazal. He was always in a rush, couldn't wait to cook his steak totally, so he did it on the run. So what we coined the phrase, what's called Nechalei De'atchak. It's not what normal people would usually sit down to eat a meal, but you would if you were stuck, if you were a bandit, you had a rush also, you would eat the meat, it's not mamash raw, it's meichel ben drusoi. It's mechlegs dushayin, does it mean it's a third cook, half cook, but one thing for sure, it's not nisbashel kol tzarchel. So the Gemara Teferish of Maseches Menachos, that if you cook meat, cook food on Shabbos, even though you didn't reach the point of nisbashel kol tzarchel, that's still considered to be bishul, and harichiv rachamana, yechayev deraisa for bishul. So comes the Ritva in Maseches Chulin and says, well, Bishul is Zereshavos. Whatever the definition of Bishul is, in Uchel Shabbos is probably the same in terms of Uchel Bas B'cholav. So therefore, the shear of Kol Shachem Oichlan Oseh, when the Gemara uses the phrase, Kol Shachem Oichlan Oseh, that's called Bishul. What that means is, Achem Oichlan Oseh B'Shasad Chach, as long as people would sometimes eat it, even though you stopped it before it was totally done, that's also considered to be Bishul Deraisa, both in Shabbos as well as in Hilchos Bas B'cholav. If one doesn't take that approach, if one takes the Rashi Kipshuto, like the Chodesh, other Acharonim write, that maybe Rashi Taka doesn't mean like the Ritva. Rashi really meant it has to be Mamish, Bishul Kol Tzarcho. So then, this would be another example of where we would draw a distinction between Shabbos and Bas B'cholov. One could argue, maybe Mispura, maybe the reason is that we know, from the Litmus of Shabbos, and we know that Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, a lot of it is a function of what the person's intent was. Malachas Machshavas Asfatayra. The term Malachas Machshavas Asfatayra appears in the Gemara both Lekula and Lechumra. Malachas Machshavas will sometimes exempt the person from in Hilchos Shabbos from something that would otherwise have been categorized as an Isser. And every once in a while, Malachas Machshavas will make you chayef for something that would have otherwise been categorized as a head. The famous Gemara at the end of the 6th parak of Bava Kamma, where the Gemara talks about some of the sugyas of Grama, where the Gemara says that certain actions are really wouldn't qualify perhaps as mice in other areas of Halacha. But in Shabbos, Malachas Machshavas is a Torah, because you basically accomplished what you wanted. You got your goal, you reached your goal, you did what you wanted to do, so that's enough to be chayef in Shabbos. So maybe one could argue that's the din of Meichel ben Drusoi as well. In terms of the real, pure, objective definition of Bishul, Bishul means you open up a Wikipedia, look up cooking, you open up a cookbook, so normally people don't cook things a halfway, a third way. Normally Bishul and Kol Torah Kula means to cook entirely. Maybe Nucha Shabbos is like a chiddush in the halacha. The melech is machshava sasatir, since that's what I want. My neighbor's ben Jusso. I'm interested in eating a quick meal. So I want to cook even less than the regular norm. So maybe that's considered to be melech is machshava sasatir. So maybe that's a special din in Nucha Shabbos. Cannot extrapolate back to Hilchos Basa B'chalav. So it's unclear. So again, the Gemara doesn't use any of these terms. The Gemara just says, kol shachem oichem lasoi. But it's not clear, does the Gemara mean achem oichem lasoi normally? The Rashi seems to say that the Gemara mina chayvach so even less than normally meicha ben Jusso. And again, the basic same question is how much is Shabbos and Bas Mecholav really hanuach? But lechora, I think the Prichadish, if I'm not mistaken, right? According to the Prichadish, well, they're saying. I think some of the Echmarim said. I think the Prichadish says. No, anyone saw? I think so. I think the Prichadish says. So one thing that seems to be clear from the Gemara that if you cook up something and you don't reach the point of Meicha Ben Jusso'i, so then you didn't really do anything terrible. What was some of the fellow? You didn't whatever the shear is, whether you hold the shear as Meicha Ben Jusso'i, hold the shear as Kol Tzarcho, Lamaise, if you pre that shear, so you didn't do anything so terrible. That's the Pasha said the Gemara. So come a whole group of Acharonim and start to pilfer with that assumption and say, wait a second, that's not so simple, not so Pasha. Just because you didn't reach Meicha Ben Jusso'i, or you didn't reach Kol Tzarcho, whatever your shear is, who says what you did wasn't terrible? Why? Because going back, if you borrow again the dinner of Bishul back from Hilchos Shabbos, we know that b'medem amamurim that the shear of Bishul is meicha ben Jusso'i. That's only when we're dealing with solids. That's the Gemara Menachos about meat. When you're dealing with a liquid, what's the shear of Bishul for a liquid? So everybody knows how hot does a liquid have to be in order to be called Bishul? Yeah, it's a let us know. Ferish Gemara, right? Gemara in the third pack of Shabbos. So if you cook up a water, you cook up oil, you cook up some kind of a liquid to the point of Yatza lettuce bow to whatever that is, 108, 110, 114 with the dead the sick ducks. We talk about the sick ducks, right? Did we talk about them? Did we talk about them the other day? We talk about the ducks. No, we didn't mention the ducks, okay. Because I was saying Shurim and we're back to learning Masechah Shabbos and Kol HaBokir and Tinex. I was just talking about the sick ducks the other day. I forgot who I talked about. So the sick ducks, that's the famous Mokhot. We talked about last year, right? How do you figure out what Meicha Ben Jusso'i is? How do you figure out what Yatza lettuce bow is? How do you figure it out? The Gemara says in Chulin about the Beis HaShechita, about whether the Beis HaShechita is Rosech, not Rosech. So how do you know how hot the Beis HaShechita is? So you got to stick a temperature into the blood when you shecht an animal. So the veterinarians told us that the highest body temperature of any animal or bird that's kosher is a what? Is a duck. So now, suppose the ducks get sick also. The duck's running a high fever. So you're not taking care of any sick ducks. So you have a duck who's running at a high temperature. So, and the Gemara also speaks about shechting a duck, and maybe the duck is sick. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. A beis hashchit will always be less than Yatza lettuce bow. So it means it's impossible for the beis hashchit to never reach more than Yatza lettuce bow. So the police can start sticking thermometers into the blood of a sick duck after shchit and try to figure out just how high possibly could Yatza lettuce bow be. That's the, I kid you not, that's where the mock-up for some of these numbers came. Which wouldn't be a great surprise that there are different numbers, different places come up with different numbers, different ducks, I guess, different parts. Anyway, so whatever it is, the bottom line is the shear bishul for liquids is Yatza lettuce bow. So come a whole group of Rechmarim and say, wait a second, how did the Gemara tell us that Kol Zman, that you haven't reached Meicha Ben Jusso, you haven't reached Nizash Kol Tzarcha, there's no Pasmach over there, Isa. True, there's no bishul on the Basar, but there is going to be bishul on the Cholav. So you have a bishul of Cholav. So maybe you have Bas Mechol of Deraisa. So that Kasha sounds at first glance like a very silly Kasha. Why is that a silly Kasha? Because everybody knows that you need what? You need Basar and Cholav together. Now we had a Machlokes Chazam Soif and the Chazanish back in the early days of our Shirim, not that long ago, about what's the Iker. Is the Iker Nikva Basar the Basar? Is the Iker, as we learned, Basar the Basar. Is the Iker Nikva Basar the Basar? Or do you really need both together in order to be a real problem Bas Mechol? So we spoke about that. But the bottom line is, if you pull off a stunt that you cooked milk and didn't cook meat, you're not going to have Bas Mechol of Deraisa. You're not in a long shot. So the kasha at first glance sounds like a very, very silly kasha. What are you asking me, a kasha? I typically there's bishul on the cholav, but there's no bishul on the basar. So no, so the achorim touch up the kasha a little bit. So different achorim touch it up with slightly different nuance. So Rav Yenison Eibeshitz, in the crazy place, he touches up the kasha in the following way. He says, you know, every time you put a piece of meat and a pot of milk, and you turn on the fire, and you reach Yatza lettuce bow, you have Bas Mechol of Deraisa there. Where's the Bas Mechol of Deraisa? Well, you have the Cholav. The Cholav is for sure cooking with Deraisa. And true, the solid part of the meat hasn't cooked with Deraisa, because the solid, the shear of solids is always going to be later. But what did cook? The juices, the whatever you want to call it, the juice inside, the reitev, whatever terms you want to use to describe the juicy part of the meat, that is inevitably cooking up at a much, much earlier point. So how could the Gemara say that you're not over bishul deraisa bas b'chalav until you reach the much, much later point of Maicha ben Yisoy? Or maybe, even like the Ritva says, maybe, I'm sorry, like Rashi maybe says, to the spashikol tzorcho, tapuk lay that the minute that it reaches 110, once you're over Yatzalenes, bro, you have a bishul deraisa in the cholav, and you have a bishul deraisa on the meha basar, and it's all mixed together, and you have bas b'chalav deraisa. That's the kash from Yerushalayim.
So then if
you're
asking Tassoy Gavar, is Kedi Kliba?
Tassoy Gavar, wow, this, we're like nowhere like near that.
If he's asking that it's
kedei
klipa, then how would you ever get that?
Because
you'd always
say kedei klipa
should be mutter.
What I missed?
Meaning, because if the milk is going to be cooked in at the basar, then
the milk and the basar. It means a little bit of milk.
Only the lettuce bone, only the milk is cooked, and at the basar you should be mutter the kedei klipa and the basar.
But you have some of the juice of the basar also. All the milk should be also.
How do you ever get a kedei klipa by tatai gover then?
No, but the milk's not cooking the meat. The fire under the pot is cooking up.
The sagava has been once hot and once cold. Here it's all sitting on a fire together. That's not the sagava. It's all in one big pot together. So everything's hot. It's all hot. The meat is hot and the milk is hot. Just the meat, the solid piece of meat getting hot doesn't mean anything because the shear from bishul on solids is maicha ben jesoy or dispashik tzorcho. But the liquid in the meat is cooking up. So now you have it's like Eliyahu took meat juice and milk. Imagine instead of taking a piece of meat, you took meat juice and milk and put it into a pot together and turned on the fire. So you would have bas b'chol deraisa. So he asked Rabbi Yonasan Abishad, she should have bas b'chol deraisa, even pre maicha ben jesoy.
That means that all these sugyas about solid foods and the Shabbos are everywhere. They don't apply. They should have been thrown out windows. Right? Have said, who cares about we just care about the juice. Long as they reach out to live, who cares about Malchut Yisrael? Nothing. There's juice.
So let's wait till we get to the Teretz. Okay. So comes Rabbi Yosef Eibershitz and says he thinks the answer to this kasha can be understood in light of if you go back to the Gemara Maseches Chulin. Where does the Gemara talk about this topic in the first place? The Gemara has a whole discussion about kol she'achem oichnasel. That's considered to be the shear of bas b'chol. Anyone bother look up the Gemara in Chulin? Where does the Gemara talk about this? Who remembers the sugya? The Gemara there is talking about if you have a half a kazayis of bas and half a kazayis of cholov, are they mitzarif biyach and not to be chayim malchus? So the Gemara quoted one day that said that they're not mitzarif because there was one day in the Gemara that said bas asar achman of lo cholov. One sheet, the lone sheet of the Gemara that was ultimately rejected held that the Yisr Bas B'chol is only on the Basar. The milk is not really part of the Yisr. Only the Torah and the Yasa, the Basar, Basar below Cholav HaMarachamana. You need the milk there to create the Yisr, but the Cheftah Shal Yisr is only on the Basar. So the Gemara says, according to that Deya, you have to eat a Kazayas of meat in order to be over to get in order to be Chayav Malchus. And the Gemara rejects. The Gemara quotes a Braisa says it's not true. We don't accept that. In the middle of that discussion, of that Braisa, about how much meat and how much milk you have to eat together in order to be Chayav Malchus, all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, the Gemara says, and by the way, what's the shear of Bishul? Koshachem Oichon Rasay. So Frech Rabbi Yerushalayim Abishad says, what's the connection living there between these two sugyas? One's talking about volume, how much meat and how much milk you have, and the other's talking about how much cook the process, how much of the cooking process have you accomplished. So says Rabbi Yerushalayim Abishad, no. The answer is, Hainu Hach, it's mamish part of the same sugya for the following reason. You have bas b'chol deraisa. You created an isser bas b'chol deraisa even way before Maicha ben Yisoy. But a very, very small amount of volume of bas b'chol deraisa. All you have is the milk, because that was his bashel, and you have some of the juice, some of the oozy part of the juice that came out of the meat, that also became bas b'chol deraisa. But 95% of what's in the pot is solid, and there's no bas b'chol deraisa in that. So you want to tell me that you're going to be chayef eating a kezayis? You have to eat a kezayis of bas b'cholav in order to be chayef. If you just take a big piece of meat and some milk and some juice, you're not going to have a kezayis of bas b'cholav. You're going to have a tenth of a kezayis of milk, a tenth of a kezayis of juice and meat, and 8/10 of a kezayis of meat which hasn't been cooked yet. So you're not going to be eating a bas b'cholav deraisa. So that's what the Braisa is trying to highlight. What you have to eat, how much you have to eat in order to be Chai of Malchus, so that's what the Braisa puts these two didn't together and says that you have to answer two questions. You have to answer a volume question. How much am I eating? And you want to tell me you're just eating a kezayis alone is enough, but medva mamurim, if you cooked it to Maicha ben Yisoy, if you made it to Maicha ben Yisoy, or to the Mispash Kotzoch, whatever your understanding of the Gemara is, if you cooked it to that point, then you're Chai of Abbas B'chol of Deraisa for eating a mere kezayis. But you want to know, is there Abbas B'chol of Deraisa in this pot? Of course there is. A very, very small amount of it. You'd have to eat a tremendous amount in order to chop around a kezayis of bas b'chol deraisa. But at the end of the day, you want to know, is there bas b'chol deraisa with the juice and the milk? The answer is yes. It's not a kazayit, it's not enough, there's no malchus, whatever you want to call it. But is there bus called the rice? The answer is yes. So according to this understanding, well, this would be a, if I take, let's say Lamosha, I take a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous piece of meat, and I put it into a big, big pot of milk, and I turn on the fire, and I reach Yatza Lesbo, I'm chayav malchus. It's only Yatza Lesbo. Why? Because I cooked up a kazayis of basa b'chalav. I didn't cook up any of the solid meat, it doesn't matter. I cooked up part of the meat, I cooked up the liquid part of the meat. That's also considered to be basa for the purpose of the basa b'chalav d'oraisa. Quite a chiddush from Yerzen Hashem. A kopanim, under normal circumstances, without this harifas, it would appear from the simple reading of the Gemara is that kodim Michael ben Yosef, you didn't do anything wrong. At least the love of the Araisa, kodim that shear, either Michael ben Yosef or in the Spash Batsuch, whatever you pick or choose the shear is, l'chor you didn't do anything wrong. So came along one of the Gedalia Charanim and said, no, not so fast. Who said you didn't do anything wrong?
Just a kazayis of kolov with less than a kazayis of nitrusis still in the Araisa.
Yeah. Yeah. Roma Sacha call you Eric's eyes. You have to have a little bit of.
But even though Bishal, but Bishal there is no Achia, but Achia there would be.
That's right, but we pass the Chatzi. Chatzi is Mitzar. Yeah, that's right. The Gemara says the other day never really existed. The Gemara rejects. So the Pashas of the Gemara is that before Maicha Ben Yosef, before Nispash Batsocho, nothing really went wrong with their answer. Came along one of the Gedalia Acharonim, the base mayor. My kids love. Every time I quote a base mayor, so we always point to Mary. I'll tell Mary Apple, it's a base mayor. It's a base mayor. So comes the base mayor. Comes the base mayor and says, I don't understand. Said you could still be over in the Siddur Ais if you're cooking pre Meichel Ben Yosef, pre Dispash Kotzorach, based on what principle in Halacha? No, what's the principle? Chatz Shir, also in the Torah. The Gemara says at the end of Maseches Yuma that if I eat less than a kezayis of chaylev, I'm over nisa deraisa. Machlekes Rabbi Yechem Shlokish. We pass it to nisa deraisa, albeit there's no malchus, there's no kareis. If I eat less than a kezayis of chametz and chaya, I'm over nisa deraisa. If I eat less than a kesevus and kippur, I'm over nisa deraisa. So frek the base mayor, if I cook less than the shear of Meichel Ben Yosef, I should be over nisa deraisa. Chatzis shear aser Torah. So the question is that true? Does that question make any sense? So l'chora, the base mayor, is touching upon not so much a boss of a cholov shayla, but more of a chatzishir shayla. Namely, chatzishir, 99.99% of the time when we find chatzishir, it's what we call a chatzishir in kamos, in the sense of it's a quantitative shir. The Torah says if you eat a kazayis, you have kares. If you eat less than a kazayis, so it's awesome in a Torah. Torah says if you eat a kesevis, you have kares. If you eat less than a kesevis, it's awesome in a Torah. Over here, it's not a quantitative difference. It's a qualitative difference. I mean, this food has not really been cooked. The food hasn't reached the point of being edible. It's not edible for you, not edible for Ben Yosef, it's not edible for anybody. So there is a qualitative difference between food that's pre-Meichel Ben Yosef versus food that's post-Meichel Ben Yosef. So we state that there's a din of Chatzis Shir Asa Minatora, Pechi Agavna. This is tremendous, tremendous Kiddush. So L'chora, there is a raya from a Ramban, half a line in Ramban, in Sefer Mitzvahs, where the Ramban sounds a little bit like this base mayor, that you can even conceive of an idea of a Chatzis Shir, even not in the realm of quantity. So there is a famous machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban about how to understand Pshat the Pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. The Sikur Vulegalos Erva. The Torah says you're not allowed to come close to Gili Arayis. So the Rambam quotes from the Avos to Rabbi Nosson that that means Dvar Mamavim the Day Gili Arayis. Any physical contact, their chiba is in Issa Derayis according to the Rambam. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban has a long, long, long attack against the Rambam, saying it's not a Derayis, it's a Derabbanan. Different shitas. So comes the Shach Paskins like the Rambam says that everyone knows we Paskin Halach like the Rambam and finish, but not for now. So comes the Ramban in his long, long tirade against the Rambam at the very end, when he finally finishes saying that the Rabbanan, Chibuk Benisha Shakravis, only the Rabbanan, at the last line the Ramban throws in an about face. The Ramban says, but maybe you can argue that Chibuk Benisha, other physical contact, maybe is a Ged of Chatzishir, and the Chatzishir is also in the Torah. So again, it's kind of an afterthought in the Ramban. If you get tired and never got to the end of the Ramban, so you wouldn't have seen that line. But the last line of the Ramban, he throws in that possibility. So the Pashas at Dvarim is that the Ramban is entertaining the possibility of Chatzis Shir Asa Min HaTorah, even if it's a qualitative difference, not just really a quantitative difference. There it's mamish two different maisim. It's even more mechudish than the base mayor. Here we're talking about the Kor Chibuk V'Nishuk a Chatzis Shir of Bia. That's one maisa X and maisa Y, and the Ramban still entertaining the possibility that's called the Chatzis Shir. So Kav HaChaim in the case of the base mayor, where it's the same maisa, it's just hasn't finished what you're doing. unless one wants to give a little bit of a dicha, wants to suggest that maybe this Ramban is not relevant for a different reason. There is a lomda shashal, again, beyond the scope right now for your idea, but a lomda shashal about what the very nature of the Isurim of Arayas is all about. The Gemara uses the phrase when it comes to Arayas, shekein nehne. The Gemara makes it sound a little bit like the etzema iser of Gili Arayas is not so much the maisa per se, it's not like the Shabbos, there's an iser maisa, but the nature of the iser of Arayas is the hanoah shebug. The Gemara says in Maseches Krisos, that, let's say, if a person in Hilchos Shabbos did something and didn't know it was flying, he walks past the light switch and his arm rubs against the light switch and the light goes on, that's nothing. So it's a mesasik bialim, it's a garnish, that's nothing. But if a person experienced the maisa bia, even though he didn't know what was flying, he was totally out of it, and he ends up doing a maisa bia, the Gemara says, you have to bring a korban chatas. Why? Shekein nehene. So what does it mean, shekein nehene? So you got hanoah. So therefore what? So one could suggest that the medrash mamur misasik is not called an aveira. That's when the nature of the aveira is bederach maisa. Misasik happened memeil. It happened by kol's man. You don't have a conscious effort to do this action. It's the action is not misyachis to you. When it comes to gili arayas, it's not the maisa that really matters. It's the hanoshibo. The Torah says the only way to reach the hanoshibo is through a maisa bia. But the real name of the game, the real name of the yisur is an yisur hano. If that's true, that the real name of the Yisr is an Yisr Hanoah, not so much an Yisr Pa'ul, not so much an Yisr Maisa, so maybe the Ramban is saying the following Yisr, that you can have Chatzishir of that Hanoah. Hanoah's Bia is 100 points of Hanoah. Hanoah's Chibib B'nishuk is 25 points. So that's considered to be a Chatzishir of the Hanoah Shebo. So Ilu Yitzuya, that Bia's Hasuros would have been an Yisr Pa'ul, an Yisr Maisa, and the whole idea of Chatzishir would have made mamish no sense. How can a chatzishir of X be how can a mice X be a chatzishir of Y? There are no shaykhs one to another. But if you hold that the whole isur of Arayas is a different type of an isur, so then maybe the Ramban can be understood. If that's true, if that's what the Ramban is driving at, that he only said that yisoid when it comes to Gili Arayas, so that will not carry over Duvas Bas B'cholov. Then the Beis Meir's idea, you can say a chatzishir of Bishul, somehow that's considered to be a chatzishir of a Bishul Gomor, that's much, much harder for us to swallow. So whatever it is, the Beis Meir does throughout the suggestion, I'm going to town, and the Lomdish is smart, they start going to town, about is the Chatzishir in terms of Bishl, in terms of less than Mechab and Yisrael, less than Mishmash Potzvacho, does that even potentially qualify for a Chatzishir? So, Chol Ponim, the Gemara stands the way it is, the Gemara says that the Shir of Bishl is Kol Shachem Eichel Nesai, we know that Rashi says something, we're not sure what Rashi says, we know what the Ritva says, Samach Rebbe Barnes are sure what we should say, we're not quite sure whether the din, the cutoff point for Bishul Deraisa, is Maichel Ben Yisroi, whether it's Nispashikol Tzorachol, depending how seriously you compare Shabbos to Bosom Chalov. But before you reach that shear, it sounds like there should be no Issa Deraisa whatsoever. So we had half the Acharonim showing you that there is an Issa Deraisa based on the fact that you have the milk, you have the milk and the juice and the meat that's cooking up together. That was the basic place in Rishon Ibishitz Mahalach. Then you have the base mayor coming mamash from left field. Maybe there should be Nisa Deraisa based on Chatzishir. But again, the simple reading of the Gemara is that taka nothing. Nothing happened beforehand, but different Acharonim have different ways of suggesting maybe there is some problem even on love of Deraisa beforehand.
According to the crazy places, shouldn't there also be an issue of quantitative Chatzishir? Because the whole issue is such a small amount of
No, but you may get a kazayas altogether with everything, because we paskin that you don't need a kazayas of each one. So if you have a lot of milk and a little bit of juice, that's maybe enough. Okay? Okay, so everybody's saying, getting back to the regular story. So we're still trying to figure out what exactly Bishul means, and we keep on looking back to Hilchos Shabbos, which leads us really to the next aspect of what's called Derech Bishul, also a direct carryover from Hilchos Shabbos. Everybody knows that there's a din of Chashav is called, what? Famous klal of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Who made up the term Ein Bishul Acha Bishul? It doesn't appear in the Mishnayos anywhere, it doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere, the Rishonim made it up. The idea appears in the Mishnayos, but the term Ein Bishul Acha Bishul doesn't appear. It's a Mishnah at the end of Masechet Shabbos, but the Mishnah says if you had a food that was fully cooked from beforehand, well, it doesn't say that, it says it was thrown into the hot water from beforehand, so showing us Bishav, I don't want to say anything, Shalom Bedictive. Fine. So that's a bit. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Hilchos Shabbos for sure. There's such a klal called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. You do him a force of machlokes to Rambam and the Rashba. At what point we say Ein Bishul Acha Bishul? According to the Rashba, once it's Maicha Ben Jusoi, that's the Shir Bishul Ben Lekula Ben Lechumra. And according to the Rashba, it's Mutter Ben Atar for sure, and probably even Ben Rabbanon to take food and to quote unquote recook it once it's Bashul Kamaicha Ben Jusoi. There's no problem whatsoever. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds, the Pashas in the Rambam holds that. that even though the shear bishul to be chayev is maicha ben drusoi, but the din of ein bishul acha bishul doesn't kick in until much later. It has to be nisbashah called tzorch in order to be subject to the rule of ein bishul acha bishul. So we pass in the halach, it's kind of a suffix. So we recommend not to recook foods after maicha ben drusoi. We would never permit you to heat up food in any shape or form until it's nisbashah called tzorch in terms of vichah shabbos. But everyone agrees that there is a principle of almost everybody, 99.9% of the people agree there's a principle called ein bishul acha bishul in vichah shabbos. It's a principle of deraisa. What point the halacha becomes ein bishul acha bishul subject to this machlokes? Question is, what about hukas bas b'chalav? Does the concept of ein bishul acha bishul carry over? Does it make any sense in hukas bas b'chalav or not? So one would think there would be some beferish gemara about it. Someone would say something beferish about it. So the closest that we have beferish about is a diuk from Rabbi Kivega has from a Shari Dura, Amish in the middle of nowhere. The Rishonim are discussing the following shari, quotes from Apsah. From the Shardu himself, and Nagol Shardu, I forget already who he's quoting. The Shardu was a Rishon, and Nagol Shardu were embedded to Mithadesh and on the Shardu. So, whatever it was, somebody said the following. I was talking about the following, Shaila. It's a simon that's going to come up for us in Mitzvah Shem, much down the line. Simon Kuvay. We speak about the dinim of Kavosh Kimavushal. There's a principle that appears in Maseches Chulin in a few different places called Kavosh Kimavushal. It means once something was soaked together, so we treat it as being Mavushal B'yachad. So the original story of Kavosh Kimavushal is not talking about Bas B'chalav, it's talking about in Hilchas Tarovis. Let's say I take a piece of a tray for meat, and I soak the piece of tray for meat in some kosher liquid or something, or I take some non-kosher liquid and soak some kosher meat, whatever it is, I have a connection, derech kovesh, derech kvisha, so the Gemara says kovesh areo kimavushal. So again, there's a lot of shittas about what that means. Does it mean, is it water, is it vinegar, is it this, is it for 24 hours? Let's wait. Hopefully there's something to learn when we get to Simon Kuvay. But there's a principle called kovesh kimavushal. The one thing is absolutely crystal clear from the Gemara, that the principle of kovesh kimavushal does not apply to basa b'cholov on a level of deraisa. It applies to Hilchas Kashrus on a level of deraisa in terms of Hilchas Blias. Means normally, in order for a Blia to take effect, you need a heat, you need a Bishol, but Kavish is Kimavushol. But when it comes to Bas B'chalav, so Kavish falls short. That if you take a piece of meat and you put it into a cold bowl of milk and it sits there, Ad Bias Goyel, the Gemara says Beferish, it will not become Osir. I Kavish Kimavushol, Gaval, what can you do? Kavish Kimavushol. So it's clear from the Gemara that Afa Pichain, Bas B'chalav, it's not. Why that is, that's a big, big machlekes, but not for now.
Also, I was thinking about that when you're talking about cooking, but at this point now, if you can eat raw meat, then it should be direct enough.
What should we do?
This, kovesh kimavushal. If meat is raw, then you can still...
No, but the Gemara is fair. The Gemara is mamish black and white. If you take a piece of meat and soak it in milk for 24 hours, 3 days, a month, a year, whatever it is, it doesn't become Bas B'chalav deraisa, because for some of that's not really called bishul. So the fact that it's not called bishul Bas B'chalav, does that indicate about something about the nature of kovesh kimavushal? That's a big machlokes. Leaving out, otherwise we can learn kufay now and forget about what we're talking about. We're still trying to finish Pezayin, okay? So lemaisa, take my word for it, that kovesh kimavushal applies by isurim on a level of deraisa, but it doesn't apply to Bas B'chalav deraisa. Both of those two statements. So come the Rishonim, the following Shaila. Let's say you have a piece of meat. It's taka been sitting in milk for a long time. It's been sitting in milk mamish for the last 3 weeks. It's sitting in milk. It's kavush through and through. Afal b'chein. We said midaraisa. It's not a problem. Midarabon. It's a problem. Midaraisa. It's not a problem. It's not derech bishul. Finish. It's not a problem. You go ahead now and you take this piece of meat that was sitting and soaking in milk. You take it out of the milk. And you put it into a pot, put a pot of water, turn on the flame. What did you just do? You just cooked Bas B'chalav deraisa. Why? Because you have meat and milk here. What do you mean I have milk? Where's the milk? I don't see the milk. It's kovesh kimavushal. Kovesh means that there was an asinus tam deraisa. There was milk that's permeating to this meat. You have meat and milk sitting in front of you, and you just put it onto the fire. You just violated Los Vashavli B'chalavimo. It wasn't osa midaraisa until you turned on the fire, because derech bishul osa tera and somehow kovesh falls short, doesn't create bas b'chalav deraisa, but there is a presence of basar and chalav deraisa. Once you turn on the pot, once you turn on the fire, that is an outright violation of bas b'chalav deraisa. So come to Rishonim and say, really? It's bishul bas b'chalav deraisa, what I just did? It's like, ein bishul acha bishul. What do you mean? It was already cooked, because kovesh kimavushal. So what's the answer? It wasn't cooked. It wasn't really cooked. Haraya, you didn't violate Vaslach of the rice until you turn on the fire. You can't have your cake and eat it, so make up your mind. Is Kavash Kimabushal or not Kimabushal? So the answer is, in Hilchos Bas Mecholov, Kavash is not really Kimabushal. So since in Hilchos Bas Mecholov, Kavash is not Kimabushal, the Nela turns out that when you turn on the fire, you are for the first time cooking up this meat and milk. So you just violated Bas Mecholov the rice, so we're going to give you Malchus, but Los Avashali Mecholovimo. So comes Rabbi Kivega, we discover this Sharadura. Comes Rabbi Kivega and says, oh, what do you see from the Sharadura? That the only reason why you're Chayav of Malchus for cooking this meat and milk together right now is because it was never really cooked together, because it was just Kavash Kimavushal, and we all know, between you and me, Kavash Kimavushal isn't so serious in Chuz Bas B'cholam. The implication of these Rishonim is what? Let's say it wasn't just Kavash originally. Let's say it was Tacha really cooked originally. Let's say on Sunday somebody came, took a piece of meat, and Mamish cooked it into a pot of milk. And then they took that resulting object and stuck it into the fridge. And now you go ahead and you cook it up on Tuesday. Again, you heat it up on Tuesday. The implication is that you would not be chayev. Because of what magic term? Ein bishul, acha bishul. So comes with the Kveya, you see from this Beferish, backwards, the best raya you have, that ein bishul, acha bishul, and Hilchos Bas Mecholov, is from an implication of a Rishon, who's saying that if it was only kavush in the first place, so then that's not called ein bishul, acha bishul, that's called bishul in the first place. The implication is that if it was really cooked the first time around, taka ein bishul, acha bishul, Hilchos Bas Mecholov. Wow. So we take this, we're very happy, we like coolers, got a balak of cooler, ein bishul, acha bishul, zok tribi Kveya. So I have an interesting question to ask you. I'll throw you out the following question. If ein bishul, acha bishul applies in Hilchos Bas Mecholov, I mean, it's carried over from Hilchos Shabbos, basically. It's not called the Maisa Bishul. Anything that was cooked already is not called the Maisa Bishul when you cook it the second time around. I have an interesting shout-out to ask you. I take a piece of meat, raw piece of meat. I go to the fridge, I take out my bottle of milk, pour it into my pot together, turn on the fire. So everybody's going to say, Bas Mecholov deraisa. No. Not both hold their eyes. You know why? Ever read what it says in the milk bottle? What does it say? Pasteurized and homogenized, okay? Right? That's remember, they pasteurized the milk for a good reason, right? Okay? So the milk is pasteurized. What does that mean? It was cooked. It was cooked in the factory last week. It was cooked already. The milk was already in its bashel. I'm not cooking basa b'cholav. I'm only cooking basa. There's nothing wrong with cooking basa. I'm cooking basar with milk that is already cooked. So someone's going to tell me, Davalachi, Dav Ramos, Milcha Shabbos, come on. Do me a favor. Ein bishul acha bishul. Bomb kasha. How you talking the work is that? So most of the poskim assume it's lo you talking the work. It can't be. It doesn't make any sense. I've been created to zok the feirish that ein bishul acha bishul by Bas Mecholov. So the answer is azok. Ein bishul acha bishul by Bas Mecholov means if the basar and the cholov were cooked together as one, and now you go ahead and you recook it, that's called ein bishul acha bishul. But if just because the basar happened to have been cooked separately, or for that matter the cholov was cooked separately, or they both were cooked, but albeit separately, then the din of ein bishul acha bishul b'chlav doesn't apply. That's not called ein bishul acha bishul. Ein bishul acha bishul nuchas bas b'cholov, it's only called the first bishul when the basar and the cholov were cooked together. And Nochinam, Rabbi Kivega is 100% right. That's what Sharadur is talking about. I had meat and milk that were kavushed together. So the Sharadur says, well, they were never in this bashel together. So therefore, cooking it the first time is called the bishul number one. If they were taken as bashel the first time, and I go ahead and I subsequently cook it, it's not a problem. It means in Nochinam, that taka wouldn't be a problem. But that has no correlation, living or dead, to what we're talking about. I'm talking about taking milk out of the fridge. It was never cooked with meat. It was cooked in a factory. It was cooked in the farm last week. It was pasteurized a week ago. That's not called Nisbashel B'derech Bas B'chalav. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul wouldn't apply. Sisrei Tayr, what's going on? What's going on? It doesn't make any sense. Either be consistent. We like consistency in Ashurim. Either you think that Hilchos Shabbos carries over to Bas B'chalav or not. If you want to tell me, there's no din of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul Bas B'chalav, you want to argue to be good, you argue whatever you want. Okay? But once you're already borrowing the din of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul Shabbos, so the Chari the Kash is better than the Teretz.
We get to Lach.
So the Sefer by the Ashulchan, he suggests the following Yisoid. He said he thinks what the Rishonim was saying, Rabbi Kivega was being Medayik, that Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, the Bas Mecholov, is really a misnomer. There is no such klal called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, the Bas Mecholov. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, the Din Hilchos Shabbos. Ein bishlach habishul means you didn't accomplish anything. What are you doing? It was already cooked. So it's such a little tikkun. In Nuch HaShabbos, we know you need a real tikkun. It's got to be a zam, sakin, do me the mishkan, throw melechas mashiach, whatever you want. We'll throw whatever HaShabbos terms we spent the whole year learning last year. But that's a din prati Nuch HaShabbos, the din of Ein bishlach habishul. There is no din of Ein bishlach habishul Nuch HaShabbos b'cholof. What the Rishayim meant, Rabbi Kivegim meant, was as follows. The din of Bosa B'cholav, the Isser Bishel of Bosa B'cholav means, there's an Isser to create a Cheftz of Bosa B'cholav. That's what Lo Savashik Li B'cholav Yimah means. Don't create Bosa B'cholav. You don't be the one to turn on that fire to create a Cheftz of Bosa B'cholav. If the Cheftz of Bosa B'cholav was already created beforehand, and you're just reheating it, you're just giving it a little bit better taste, that's not called Lo Savashik Li B'cholav Yimah. That has nothing to do with Ein Bishlach HaBishl. It's a different din lagamri. Ein Bishlach HaBishl is the din prati Nuch HaShabbos. This is a separate halacha called, don't be the one to create Basa B'cholav. Abba Zoy says about the Shulchan, Kol Zman that the Basa and the Cholav weren't cooked together, they were not Basa B'cholav yet. So it's true that the milk was cooked. That is what we call, in our regular Ksubashurim, true but irrelevant. Who cares that the milk was cooked? So what? But it wasn't cooked with meat yet. It wasn't Basa B'cholav yet. So the Geder HaDin, the Hagdar of this din, quote-unquote, it's a misnomer, it's a borrowed phrase. We have nothing else to call it, so we call it Ein Bishel Ach HaBishel. But it doesn't really mean Ein Bishel Ach HaBishel. It's a totally different halacha. But the nature of this Rabbi Kivega, the Sharadura is, says the Baal Yishulchan, is that you have to be the one to create the Basa B'cholav. And if the Basa B'cholav was already pre-created, that's not your problem. If you're just rehashing, redoing, reheating Basa B'cholav, that's not what the Torah said. According to this Bar Yishulchan, now we have to revamp and relook and take a very, very careful look at this Shardura, this Rabbi Kivega, this whole Ein Bishlach HaBishel story, which it doesn't really exist, and begin to understand what are the parameters, when would it apply, would it not would apply. So already, a few people already jumped the gun on us a little bit and said, well, wait a second. We just started to talk about Ein Bishlach HaBishel. You were borrowing Hilchos Shabbos, the Yaduim of first of the major Machlekes Nevi'im about the Klal of Ein Bishlach HaBishel Hilchos Shabbos. It applies across the board to all kinds of foods, or maybe one could argue it only applies to solids and not to liquids. We have Gedolei Rishonim already say this. Tashas Rashi holds this way. The Rosh claims this way. B'das Rashi. A lot of Rishonim already have this idea that Ein Bishlach HaBishel only applies by solids, not by liquids. And the Svarah seems to be a Svarah Pshuta. That you take a dry piece of chicken, once it's already cooked, so you stick it in the fridge, put it back on the fire, you didn't really do all that much. It was edible cold, it's edible hot, it doesn't make a difference. You take a bowl of soup, try to serve somebody a cold bowl of soup, it's not going to fly. It doesn't work. I have a Messiah from Rabbi Govich Zitzel, Yeshiva Kembi Yavna, I live in Kembi Yavna. So I was once eating at his house, and they served the soup, and he told everybody they shouldn't wait. Everyone should just start to eat. So he said to me, those who knew him, he says, Kach Kibalti. I don't know who he meant. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav of the Chaznish. I don't know who exactly was Makapu. Kach Kibalti b'Maseya. He says, Ein Mechakim l'Marak, Ein Mechakim l'Glida. So he says, that was the Gzer Shav. You don't wait for soup, you won't wait for ice cream. Okay. Anyway, but I said, getting back to the story. So when it comes to soup, you don't want to eat cold soup. Cold soup is Nishkin soup. It's not soup, and it's not a hot soup anymore. Once it cools down, it's ready in this bottle of Bishel. So half the Rishonim hold that Yesh Bishlach HaBishel B'Dovalach. How do we pass in the halacha? The Bichlach is the Mechaber in the Ramah. So famous Mechaber in Shin Yuches is Tach HaMachmer. The Ramah is somewhere in the middle, depending on what you ask what the Ramah said. But the Ramah, those who remember from Hilchos Shabbos from last year, the Ramah says that if the food is totally cooled off, then Tach HaYesh Bishlach HaBishel, maybe. And if it hasn't totally cooled off, then ain't Bishlach HaBishel. Again, what that means is beyond the scope right now. So we know that when you're dealing with the Dover Lach, we're very, very weary to start to apply the principles of Ein Bishel Ach HaBishel. So comes about the Ashulchan and says, if I'm not right, if the Kash of all the Acharonim was the way conventional wisdom was, that Taka Ein Bishel Ach HaBishel with Basa B'cholav, as strange as that sounds, so then the only way to know whether this Bishel Basa B'cholav deraisa here or not, is you have to go learn Simon Shin Yuches and Rechaim. You have to go figure out, is this a Dover Lach? Is this a Dover Yavish? How do you define Dover Lach? How do you define Dover Yavish? Whatever the Klalim on Hilchos Shabbos are going to carry over to Hilchos Basa B'cholav. If you go with conventional, the simple reading of Rabbi Kivega, that Ein Bishlach HaBishel is the same din in Hilchos Shabbos as it is in Hilchos Basa B'cholav, then all the details are going to follow suit as well. So you got to go learn, and be Arichas, got to go back to Yitor and figure out what we spoke about for a month last year. But, says the Baal HaShulchan, well, if I'm right, like of course I'm right, because if I'm not right, and you led to the absurdity that you can cook Bas Mecholof today, because the milk is pasteurized, I didn't have to tell Rabbi Bleich about the cheeseburger that's not their rice. Well, I should have told him it's not their rice because the milk's pasteurized. I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to lose my $45,000. Right? Did I talk about that? We spoke about that, okay? So, I wouldn't say such a silly svar. Nobody would say that there's no Bas Mecholof their rice to take because the milk's pasteurized. So the Baal HaShulchan says, of course I'm right. So the DD that I'm right, this has nothing to do with any Bishul HaChabish. This is a different klal lagamrei. This is a klal called, you have to be the one to create Bas Mecholof. If it was already created, it was created. What would the din be by Davalach? If you have a Davalachtik Bas Mecholof, if a gravy with a, if a, if a meat soup together with milk all mixed together, and somebody cooked it up once, and now they took it off the fire, put it into the fridge, and you want to cook it up a second time, would you say, oh, according to the Ramos, it's not lagamrei, you have Bishul HaChabish? Nah, says about Bishul HaChabish, says that. He says, you have Bas Mecholof in front of you. It was already Bas Mecholof. Once it's chal on it, a shame Bas Mecholof, you can't be chal. You can't get your double jeopardy for the same Bas Mecholof. Once it's chal Bas Mecholof, you are not the one who's creating the Bas Mecholof. So it says about the Ashulchan, if Rabbi Kivega's shot is based on Hilchos Shabbos, then you gotta extrapolate whatever the klum of Hilchos Shabbos are. But if I'm right, that this has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, this is a different din lagamrei, so then, what's the klum? It's only one simple klum. Was it Bas Mecholof before or not? If the answer was it was, then you're okay. If the answer was it wasn't, then you're in trouble. That's the only thing you have to answer. So it says about the Shulchan, it's Nira Lefi Daitai, that Ein Bishul HaChabishul, quote unquote, the Ein Bishul HaChabishul of Bas Mecholof will apply to solid, to liquid, it applies across the board. Once it's Bas Mecholof, you never have to worry about reheating it. Chaps and Afkamina, those who want to work in the restaurants. If you want to work in a restaurant, you want to cook Bas Mecholof, so you may have a serious problem. If your only job is to reheat Bas Mecholof, then it wouldn't be so bad. Somebody tell me that apparently in the American Army, this was once an issue, that one of the Frum soldiers was apparently on kitchen duty, and they were asking him to reheat some Bas Mecholof or something, so he thought that was a problem. So he got the whole shaila about whether, depends on his body of shulchan, what's the story is. Strange shaila. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a problem if you add additional value, you add milk?
Oh, you want to know if you already have Bas Mecholof, then you add more Bas or more Mecholof, is that considered to be added on Bas Mecholof? You got to hold off for that. That's an exciting topic, but it's down, way, way down the line. Pasha says it should be a problem. There's a funny shach about that, but another one, nothing. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, getting back to the story. So we are not the first, Five of Kohn, saved by the show, is not the first person to discover that one could be mefalpel about the shayla of Ein Bishul HaChabishul with the Dover Lach and Uchus Bas Mecholof. It already appears, already on the page in the Mishnah Berurah, page of the Shulchan Aruch, all places where? I put this Maror Machom on or not? I put this winter Maror Machom on, I remember. Shari Shuvah and Uchus Chanukah? And I put it on? Okay, we'll talk about it now. About the butter. Okay, good. So it's a Mefarish Shari Tshuva. It's not a Mishnah Berurah, but it's a Shari Tshuva and Uchas Chanukah. Uchas Chanukah. It's almost Rosh Hashanah. What does Uchas Chanukah do with anything? So the post can discuss mamish the following shayla. Okay? You're a little low on Chanukah candles, alright? You don't feel like spending $400 to buy those pre-made Chanukah candles. You're going to do it all by yourself, but you can't seem to find enough oil. The only oil that you have, is the Tshuva quotes it there also?
Yeah.
He quotes it there also? Yeah, okay. So, I think he quotes the whole story, because I think he quotes the same principle. Okay, whatever, that's fine. So you have a little bit of butter, and you want to use butter as your oil. Kol shmanim psilos, everything you really use, whatever you want, fine, great. Lo and behold, the butter that you're using was cooked in a fleshik pot. Okay? You need some imagine creativity for the shayla. So you have butter that was used in a fleshik pot. So I want to know, I'm not going to eat the butter. I want to know, can I take that butter and use it for halachas neres Chanukah? So come a group of Acharonim and say, there's a problem. You know what the problem is? It's a problem of what? Lo sevashel gadi b'cholav imay. When you stick that wick in and you light the fire, so you're being mevashel bas b'cholav. You're cooking bas b'cholav together. So come the Acharonim and say, wait a second, hold the phone, why not so simple? Why is this called bas b'cholav? It was already cooked. It's like ein bishul HaChabishul. So what did Acharonim write? It's a what? So davalach, so davalach, and it's done legamrei gavalt. So davalach, so maybe yesh bishlach habishul, but davalach, and it's done in. So comes the Baal HaShulchan and says, nah, the whole thing is not true. He says, lahoy dvar me'alam. There's no issa bishul on this because it was already bas mecholof. The fact that I'm redoing it, that's totally irrelevant. Davalach and it's done in. That's the ein bishlach habishul sugya. This is not an ein bishlach habishul sugya. Who remembers from Mechas Shabbos, from Masechet Shabbos last year? We spoke about the Shari Tshuva from a different dimension. Maybe there's no Issur Bishul in this. Who remembers? Last year's guys? Lishes, yes.
Here, but the Baruch Shulchan brings down the concept of Nerachanuk being allowed to lend us to.
No, that's are you allowed to do it? Not b'tam disa bishul. That's you allowed to do b'tam disa. No, we didn't get to that part yet. Just in terms of disa bishul, maybe there's another tzad lahakol to say that there's no disa bishul in what you're doing.
It's not edible.
Why is it not called bishul? Who remembers? This is machlekes the Bavli and Yerushalmi and Yevamos. Who remembers? No, we told about Elisha. Daktaras ha'evarim. This machlekes the Bavli and Yerushalmi about, let's say on Shabbos, by mistake, I go ahead and I mocked something on the mizbech that I wasn't supposed to be mocked to. Right? I threw an aver on the mizbech. I'm not only the korbanola. The tumid is the Shabbos. I went in and I was mocked to something on the mizbech. So what terrible malacha did I do? What was the terrible malacha that I did? So my stomach did havara, because I'm lighting, making more of a fire, that's havara. So as machlek is the Bavli and Rishalmi, I also chayav mishum bishul. So the Rishalmi seems to say it's bishul, and the Bavli seems to say it's not called bishul. Why should it be called bishul? So if you think about it, I'm barbecuing. I take a piece of meat and I throw it onto the fire, so I'm barbecuing up the meat. So what's beyond the Bavli? So the Chavarim explained, the Bavli seems to hold that the definition of bishul means not to destroy something through the fire. If something is no longer here through the fire, that's not called bishul, that's a different malach, that's called avara. Bishul means I take food, I put it onto the fire, I toast it up, heat it up, roast it up, toast it up, bake it up, cook it up, that's called bishul. When I use the fire to destroy something, b'chlal, that's not called bishul altogether. That's not a shame bishul b'chlal. It's a different ma'isel agamri. No, I don't think so. I think this is a bishul shal. I mean, there's a very definition of the word bishul. Bishul has a certain connotation that you're preparing something by using the fire in order for it to still be around. If you destroy something through the fire, that's not called bishul b'chlal. So the Achareim go to town, mamash, with this shiloh. So they quote, in Hilchas Chanukah, this is where they talk about it. So some Achareim write, what kind of bishul b'chlal is this? You're taking the oil, so true, this butter has basar in it and chema in it, it's got a mixture of basar b'chalav in it. And what are you doing with it? You're destroying it lagamrei. That's not called bishul basar b'chalav, that's called havaras basar b'chalav. The Torah doesn't say lo savaru gedi b'chalavimo. The Torah says lo savashu gedi b'chalavimo. So it wouldn't be a problem with bishul basar b'chalav. So some achronim want to say, based on the fact that the Bavli says that being mocked or something on Shabbos is only an isra of havar, it's not an isra of bishul, that it wouldn't be a problem with bishul basar b'chalav because of this. So who remembers now? Who remembers the follow-up of the story? Who remembers? Who did I have this conversation with? Come on, the guys from last year. Who did I have this conversation with? This is Rav Sternbuch's son's conversation that I had. This was it when he came to visit me last year. So last year I was sitting in my house, all of a sudden they knock on the door. Rav Sternbuch's son walks in. He says he has to talk to me about something. So not about this. He had to talk to me about something else. So I was in the middle. So he asked me, but I was learning then Sapunk. I was holding these sugyas of bishul havar last year. So I asked him what he thought about this. So we were pulling, we were talking. And then he said to me that he's going to send me, he says he has a whole shiur Torah about this. And nishlach lecha b'email. Okay. So I don't know. Email, whatever. I don't want to say anything, but okay. So he says he's going to send me an email. So he sent me a 150-page email with a whole shiur. I couldn't even begin at my computer. I couldn't figure out how to even. So it's sitting there somewhere in my email somewhere. 150 pages about the shiur Torah, about bishul and havara, what's this? What? So maybe someday someone will look at it. Okay. Anyway, advice I. Good. So yeah. Yeah, so that's a whole different story. So then the Achareim go to town with a totally different angle to Shaila. How can you light Neres Hanukkah here? Maybe it's a Hanok. Maybe you're being Nene from Basar B'chalav. So it's the second half that the Achareim start pupling about Mitzvah of Hillis that knew. It's a Mitzvah Derabana, Mitzvah Derais, back and forth and back and forth. Then there's a third problem. There are three different problems about this Neres Hanukkah. So, Shaila. Guy wants to use the Basar B'chalav oil. So one issue is the issue of Bishul that we touched on a little bit. The second is the issue of Hanok. Who remembers the third? So some achrayim say you can't be yaitzi with the bas b'chol of oil. You know why? Because kesus emech tashure. Because there's a din that you need a certain amount of oil to burn, or the candles have to burn for a half hour. So the Gemara says that whenever the halacha requires a shiur, so whenever something is omeid to be destroyed, so it's kesus emech tashure. So kesus emech tashure. So it's keilu the shiur is chaser. That's what other achrayim say. So that already, again, we could talk about this for another hour, but we're not going to talk about this for an hour. We'll talk about it for 30 seconds. So you can pilpul whether that's true or not on many, many grounds. First of all, bas b'chalav happens not to be from what? What do you do when you have bas b'chalav? How do you get rid of bas b'chalav? You bury it. You don't burn. It's from minanik bar, not minanik rafin. So l'chora, the din of ksusim echtira doesn't apply to nikbar. It only applies to nisrafin, unless you hold like a taisis in masechet yevamos. It says otherwise, but not for now. The second reason is that why is ksusim echtira probably not apply here, or quite possibly not apply here? What's the chesaron of ksus bech tashirei? Ksus bech tashirei l'chayra means when there's a halachic shear for something. There's an official halachic shear. A lulav has to be X amount of tefachim. And this chetz has to be X amount of whatever the shear is. So if al pidin, it's omed lekach to be destroyed, al pidin, it's not really here. So the objective halachic shear can't be met. Since the halachic shear is necessary, when you have a halachic concept, quote, system of shear, that's going to undermine the shear. But sometimes you have a shear that's not really a function of halacha, it's just a function of mitzias. Why do you have to have enough oil? Why do you have to have X amount of oil? Because I was mesachin, you have to have X amount of oil? What were they mesachin? You have to light candles so people could see the candles. So the shear is that people have to, it has to burn long enough that people should be able to see it. So that shear, Bizman Chazal, was about a half hour. So that there was a takana, you need 1.3 ounces of oil. The takana was, you have to have the ability for people to see the oil. That's it. Memela, the din is you have to have X amount of oil. So since the whole shear, quote unquote, is non-existent, the shear is neveya, the shear emanates from a physical metzias. If the metzias, people see the oil, they see the candles burning, man af kamina, that's ksusim ech teshira. The whole ksusim ech teshira doesn't make any sense. That's the pashta of the varmis. Of course, in Yonah, do you have a little bit? What's the rai against this? What's the rai against this shtikl tara? The ksusim ech teshira applies, even if it's just the metzias shear. Rai from Yochas Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, beferish ksusim ech teshira by a shofar. What's the shear for a shofar? How big does the shofar have to be? It has to be big enough that it protrudes out of your hands on both sides. Where did that shear come from? So the Rosh and Rosh Hashanah writes, that shear is because shelo yomul tzoch yod hutakeya. Because otherwise it gives off the impression that the person is just blowing into his hands. It doesn't look like he has a shofar there. So the Rosh learns that the whole shear of a shear shofar, the physical shear of a shofar, is not a pure halachic shear. The halach is only is a response to that physical reality that otherwise is going to be a chashash of tzoch yod hutakeya. And still the Gemara calls it ksusim ech teshira. The Gemara says if you have a shofar shelo nidachas, it's still no good because ksusim ech teshira. So you see from the Gemara that ksusim ech teshira applies even if the mokor for the shear is not halachic or in nature. Even if it's pure metzias in nature, it's still subject to sismech teshir. So we got a little bit sidetracked. Now getting back to our oil. So getting back to this famous shalom, Nechus Chanukah, and back to the teshuva. The bottom line is the Achrenim Pilpul about using this oil for Nechus Chanukah. So three totally different questions about this oil. One is it a violation of Bishul Basa B'cholov? Number two, is it a violation of Nehenami Basa B'cholov? And number three, maybe it should be a chisarn of Nechus Chanukah because ksusimech teshir. So you can say Shia Klol on each one of those three topics, but we're going to stick more to the first one of the topics. So those Acharonim who invoked the principle of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul and Hilchas Basa B'cholov, and they borrowed Hilchas Shabbos and they started to plug in the Lach and the Yavash, the whole Chagadya, they were working with a certain understanding of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, and the Baal Yeshulchan thinks the whole thing is fundamentally not correct, that there is no klal of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul with Basa B'cholov. It's a different halacha legamrei. You're not allowed to create Basa B'cholov. If it was already pre-created, then it's not your problem. So Rabbi said, pretty much I can't say we made a siyum on Simen Pei Zayin, we still got a lot left in Simen Pei Zayin, but we finished one major part of Simen Pei Zayin, namely the notion of Derech Bishul, and particularly the part of Derech Bishul that Shabbos Bas B'cholov equation, or lack thereof. So we saw this theme keeps on repeating itself over and over and over again in terms of how do you define Bishul in terms of Tigun and Sli, the Shabbos carryover to Bas B'cholov, does it not carry over? How much Bishul Agavi Eish is important, how much Shulacham is important, how much Yad Saled, how much Meichel Ben Drusoy is important, Ispashkal Tzorcha is important, how important some aspects of Chatzishir are, how important the Ein Bishul Acha Bishul principle is. The fundamental question, just how similar, how different are the standards of Bishul vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos and vis-a-vis Bas B'chol. So we have a few other important things to talk about in terms of the end of Simen Pei Zayin. So let's show next year we'll continue towards our try to finish through Simen Pei Zayin.